Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, the text that we meditate on today is drawn from the Old Testament lesson as we consider your King is coming for your shame. Are you ready for this? It's a question that I personally ask myself every time I turn into the parking lot at the vet's office, because I know exactly how that visit is going to go. Before I even get out of the car, the dog is shaking in the back seat, barking her head off, announcing to every other dog in the neighborhood, including barking into my ear, that she is there and she doesn't want to be there and she's not intending to stay there. And so the drama continues throughout the visit. Now, I want you to mind you that Bailey is one of the gentlest dogs I've ever known. She tolerates all of the grandchildren chasing her around the circle on our main level, chasing her, pulling her hair, trying to pet her. She tolerates all of that without hardly, you know, a whimper. But as soon as we enter into the vet's office, I have to say to the gal at the front desk, we're going to need a muzzle. To which she responds to me, oh, I already know that. It's in your chart. She continues to be out of control throughout the entire visit. Our gentle dog really becomes a spitting image of Cujo the whole time that we're at the vet's office, until I finally let her out, with which she runs through the vet's office, peeling towards the front door. The last time that I was there, there were other people who were there, and they saw her coming, and they literally pulled back their pets and held them back in fear for what was about to approach them. I really couldn't see their faces, but I know that they were terrorized. I have no idea what they say when I go out the door. I don't really want to know. All I want to do is get in my car, tuck my head in shame, and get away. But I don't have to tell you that. I don't have to tell you that because you know how that feels. You know what shame feels like. It might not be because of your pet. It might be because of your best friend. Who is your best friend? But you know they have some of those bad habits, and you're a little bit ashamed to be out in public with them because, well, they say certain things. They do certain. Or maybe it's your spouse. Maybe your spouse does some things. Probably is your spouse. Or your children. Your children might be the ones. Or quite truthfully, if we're really being honest with each other this morning, it probably has been yourself caught behaving badly. You thought you could keep it under wraps. And maybe you even succeeded at that for a while. But now it's out there. Now it's out of the bag. Now everyone is there to see it. Not just the nameless stranger who happened to catch it out of the corner of their eye some morning while you were out doing your thing. But it is out there for everybody to see, for all of your peeps, for your friends, for your neighbors, for your business associates, for every one of your family members, all of your most significant others. They know exactly what you have done. They know the thing that brings you shame. They know your sin. And they know your guilt. And you know how your shame overshadows them, because it does. Everybody else out there knows, and it kind of just drapes itself over everybody around you. Anybody associated with you. It taints, it stains, it weighs on them. Just like it does to you. So maybe today's announcement comes as a little bit of a shock that your king is the one who is coming to you. Righteous. It's not just anyone. And let's face it, your friends, your family, they'll probably tolerate you. They'll probably overlook whatever kind of a fix that you're in because, well, they love you and they tolerate that and they get over it. They might even be willing to overlook the fix that you are in because they know that they personally have issues themselves. But not the King. Not your God. And your God is the one who is coming, whose right is in stark contrast to your wrong. He's coming like that unannounced visitor, the one that's really important to you, the one that you really want to meet, and suddenly, out of nowhere, you have no idea, but suddenly they're at your front door, unannounced. And you know how that feels. Oh my goodness, I didn't dust the place, my clothes are all over the place, I got dog hair on everything, and they're coming into my dishes are stacked to the ceiling. Oh my goodness, what am I going to do? That unannounced visitor coming to your house. You know how, they're just going to have to see it the way it is. You know how that feels. What a disaster. Only you know, my friends, that it's not your home that the king is coming to see. It's not your home that is such a mess. It's those that live there. It's the things that are said there. It's the lives that are lived there. It's the things that are done there. The lying and the cussing and the jealousy and the greed and the backstabbing and the neglect and all of the lust that's blaring out of your TV set. All the gossip. All of that nasty stuff that you can keep kind of tucked away behind the front door of your home. Nobody else is able to see it. But here's the king coming to you. And all of those things that you wouldn't want him to know, all the things that you wouldn't want him to see, all of those things that you are burdened with, you wouldn't want to burden him with. You wouldn't want him to even be connected with any of that stuff. You don't even want him to know about it, but there he is. Your king is coming to you. But my friends, that's exactly what your king is coming for. He already knows what a mess you are. As the psalmist sings, "O Lord, you've searched me and you've known me. You discern my thoughts from afar. You are acquainted with all of my ways." He knew. He knew the trouble that his people of old were in. The prophet Zechariah, he wrote the words of our text today to a people who had been exiled. Yes, they had returned from their exile in Babylon. God had provided a savior of sorts. Cyrus of Persia had defeated the Babylonian captors, and he had let them return home. He had given them the option to return, to go back to their home country. But when they returned, the task of rebuilding what was there was daunting. The consequences of all the people's sins, it was just overwhelming. Their homes were destroyed. Their temple was in ruins. Their city was in disrepair. Their lives were in complete disarray. Does it sound familiar? We all find ourselves in that spot at times. And it is to such as these that Zechariah is sent. Zechariah comes with a message of hope. He comes with a message to lift them up out of their doldrums. He comes with a message to encourage them. He comes with a message that invites them to put away their sin, to put away that sinful past, to leave that sinful past behind, and to begin again. To turn to their Lord, to repent of their old ways, to look to the Lord who is promising to be with them, to help them rebuild those lives, who is promising to be by their side, who is promising to send the king, a promised Savior, a different kind of king, to lead them. Zechariah envisions a Messiah who would live righteous, entirely opposite of all the excesses of the leaders, the spiritual leaders that they had in the past, one who would live righteously, who would live justly. But it was more than that. It really was more than that. The prophet Jeremiah had held out the very same hope to these very same exiles years before. He had told them in the 23rd chapter, "Behold, the days are coming when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land." Sounds familiar, doesn't it? In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. But then he adds this, and this is most important of all. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. He's not just a righteous king. He's our righteousness. He would give his righteousness to them. How would he do that? Isaiah had already told them that as well. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, smitten by God and afflicted as he, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Do you hear it? Your king is coming. Righteous is he. But he's not just coming righteous to show how righteous he is in contrast to how out of whack all of us are, in contrast to our sins, to highlight our shame. But he's coming with no sin of his own to take on our sin, to take on our shame, to remove it from us entirely, to gift us with his righteousness, to be despised, to carry your shame, to be forsaken on the cross that you and I might not have to be, to die the death that you and I deserve, the death that our sins deserve. No one puts it better. No one puts it better than Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He, Jesus, who knew no sin, became our sin so that we might become righteous. Righteousness. Gifted. Through that king, through that Messiah, through that king, Messiah, Jesus, who was coming, who came for all who believe in him. The king came for your shame, to bear it, to die for it, to overcome it. He lives. Don't forget it. He lives. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And understand this king not only came, but he continues to come into your heart and into your lives. He comes with his word of promise. He still lives and he still gives some to be evangelists and shepherds and teachers, all to equip the saints. That's to equip you and me for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ, to build each and every one of us up. He sends people to you and me with his word of promise. Sometimes he even sends you. He still comes with that message of hope. He still comes with that word of promise. He still comes with that offer to bear your shame. He still comes in the water and word of holy baptism, not just any old water, but water combined together with the word, water bound together in that word so that it unites us together with everything that Jesus won. It unites us together in his death. The old sinful Adam drowned, but it unites us also together in his resurrection, raised again to a whole new life. Check it out in Romans chapter 6. You have a share because of your baptism and everything that Christ Jesus won. And still he comes to you today, and he is here at his table today, and he is offering all of his gifts. He is laying out his body and blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins, to remove that shame, to bear it, to die for it, so that you and I might be untroubled and unafraid all the way to the end, which we're expecting. We are expecting our King to come again. It's just like he promised. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. He got his word on it. And he's repeatedly said what he is going to do. And Jesus says what he's going to do, and then he does what he says. We don't know when. We don't know exactly how it's all going to unfold. He wants us watching. He wants us waiting. He wants us ready for it. And I'll admit, sometimes I hear about the king coming and I'm a little bit anxious about that. I'm a little bit ready. I'd sure like him to come and straighten out the mess that we've made out of our world. I'd sure like him to do that. I'll admit that I'd really like for him to come down and to be a part of us, but other times I recognize that it's not really the world that is so much a mess as it is me. I'm not quite sure that I'm ready for that. I'm not sure that I'm good enough to greet him, or, as we sang, to welcome him aright. None of us are. None of us are in ourselves. But my friends, that's why your king came. That's why he came so long ago. Your king came for you. Your king came for your sin. Your king came to bear your grief. Your king came to carry your sorrow. Your king came for your shame, so that you would be ready. You are ready for this as long as you've got him. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, your King, who comes. Amen. Please take out the white card in front of you today. If you would fill it out so we have a record of your visit with us here today. And if you would, please turn it over. We pray together the call to Christian fellowship on the back. Dear Father in heaven, we've gathered together in Christian fellowship to worship you. We've confessed our sins and we thank you for your forgiveness. We've sung praises to you and listened to your holy word. Help us now to return to our homes and families filled with your Holy Spirit. Give us the courage to love others as you love us by our words and actions. Make us your witnesses here on earth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We gather our gifts for the Savior.